Fantastic. So, Divya, I'm going to start with you. If you can just tell me who you are and what you do.
A very good morning to everyone. I'm sorry, the traffic was amazing and we made it from Delhi. So I think G20 has done Delhi a lot of good and we were not troubled on the way at all. So just to begin on a positive note, we are in education. We run one of the largest private universities called Amity, and we have globally presence too. And we have many universities and many students. In fact, what I would like to say, some of our students have come today to attend this event. Thank you for raising your hands. There are lots more, they're all scattered. So thank you for having me.
Welcome. And Renku, can you tell us who you are and what you do, please?
Hello everyone, my name is Renuka Rautela, and I would like to describe myself as an educator. And what I really do right now is I design programs and interventions for teachers and students. And for now I'm working with an ESCO MGIP. Thank you.
Fantastic, welcome. And Gauri, can you please introduce yourself?
I'm afraid I'm just a teacher. I set up a school in Delhi called Sanskriti School, and I'm an education consultant at the moment. And I have spent all my last 30 years in education.
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to your contribution. Anita, can you tell me who you are and what you do, please?
Good morning, everyone. It's really my pleasure to be here. I'm Pranita, working at International Center for Research on a Woman. ICRW is a leading global research organization working to translate research into action. I'm based at Asia office, and here I'm also leading one of the flagship program called Gender Equity Movement in Schools, GEMS, which is really working towards building gender equitable schools, working closely with schools, teachers, and young adolescents. And the program so far has reached to over 2.5 million students and over 26,000 teachers across multiple geographies in India and outside India. And I'm really pleased to be here, part of this conversation.
Thank you. It's nice to have you. And Seema, can you please tell us who you are and what you do?
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to welcome all of you to Bharat, India, and from across the world. You all have taken your time out to be here, and I'm really honored to be on this panel. Thank you, Mandy, and thank you, EQ. My name is Seema Rajput Verma. I'm the founder of an organization, Divinity Serves. We are an organization wherein we are working with various schools across the country. We are currently working in 11 states in India. We design modules wherein we go across schools, colleges, and communities, and we spread advocacy on gender equality, gender-based violence, and domestic violence specifically. We are also on various panels of ICC where we are connected with schools, where if there is any abuse that is happening to students, to teachers, or even at POSH, that is sexual harassment at workplace. We design modules based on particular schools, on particular states, on particular local communities. And it's been more than a decade that we've been working, and we've been humble enough though to reach places where governments could not go. And today we have covered more than 500,000 people in our work.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So when I came to India, and I'm very kind of a bit of a geek, I love collecting data, but actually over 50% of the population is under the age of 30. So, you know, India really is the place where the next generation is so important. So, Gauri, I'm going to come to you as somebody who spent their life in education. So, you know, you probably have seen a lot of changes and things like that. It would love to hear some of your thoughts and how do we level up and see how things have changed.
You know, I have always felt when talking about the gender equity in schools and education for girls, I always started with the quotation that I picked up from Gandhi, that when you educate a man, you educate an individual. When you educate a woman, you educate a family. So therefore, when you are working in the schools, one of the very important things is working with the mothers as well, especially in the schools which cater to the underprivileged. Because if you just work with the girl students and you do not involve the mother, a lot of what we want to get done doesn't get achieved. Because if we want equity and if we want women to stand up, young girls to grow up to be women who will stand up for their rights and take their place in the world, it needs behavioral change in society. It can't happen by some of us speaking on platforms or a few of us breaking the glass ceiling. You have to look, how is it going to work from the bottom? When the girl child is born, from that moment, the kind of treatment the child gets, the kind of approach the family has, because if you want this situation to change, if you want 100% of girls to go to schools and get the rightful place, then you have to have the entire family and society involved in it. Because when there's an opportunity in a family where there's a son and a daughter, and the great opportunity comes up, inevitably it will be, pressure will be put on the boy child to go ahead. And this is done by women also. I mean, as mothers, we are also to blame when we do such things. So unless there's a behavioral change right from the bottom, that whether it's a son or a daughter, it does not really matter. They are both equal. Unless we develop that kind of an attitude across society, it'll be very difficult for us to bring about the change. So speaking to mothers, the last panel spoke about the rural areas. So speaking to mothers to make them realize that they are important and therefore their daughters will also be important. The second point that I'd like to highlight is that when we talk about gender equality and we go to conferences, there's so much pressure on, you know, what women should do. But, you know, for women to survive in the society, we have to work as equal partners with men as well. Yep. So a very balanced approach needs to be given. I have been to schools where I have had teachers and the organization tell the children that, you know, girls are good, you are very good. And, you know, making them feel superior to the men. And I think that is also wrong, because tomorrow when these girls grow up and go into the world, they need to work with anybody in society, whether it's a man or a woman. Yeah. It's a question of your merit and the inherent talent that you have that needs to come up. So whether it's Africa, where you have female genital mutilation, or whether it is India, where in the villages, women are often given no rights, it doesn't matter where we go. Until there is a societal change and a behavioral change, I think it's difficult for us to achieve our goal.
No, brilliant. Thank you. That takes me nicely to you, Seema, actually, because you're doing work in the community, you're doing works with the budgets and everything else. So it would be really good to see, when you're going out working with the grassroots and those organizations, how can we really involve men in the solutions? Because for me, I'm a real advocate that we cannot have change without having men at the table as well. And so I really would like to hear your thoughts on that as well. So, you know, about the work that you've done and actually how do we involve, because it just moves on nicely from Gauri.
Totally. We were sitting with Gauri and we were discussing this, you know, that it's always good to have these kind of conversation and involve men equally. So when we started working, we obviously started going to more women, more girls, and talking to girls' schools and parents. But then eventually, because see, I'm a mother of a son. So then I thought that it's like, if I am teaching something to my son, then it is going to take forward. So when other men will see men coming to the forefront, supporting women causes, supporting the equality for women, supporting education for girls and women, I guess the other men will follow. I was just telling, it's like a ripple effect. So I guess when we have these kind of panels or conferences, I think we should have a little bit equality here as well. We should get more men on board as well, because we need them to be vocal about it as well. Because as I said, you know, I was listening to Neeti and Prachi, and I just said one very good thing, even that Susan said, that things can start from family. You know, and which is something which I also believe, when we go to schools, when you go to education, we make sure we tell to the principals, please have a joint session. Please get the boys as well. You know, when we talk about
harassment, when we talk about sexual harassment, when we talk about eve teasing, things like these, we used to go to schools and the principals used to tell us that, okay, we are getting the girls. And I was like, why should not the boys know? The punishments are there, the laws are there. Why should not the boys know? What are they going to be punished for? Okay, so tomorrow if we speak to a boy, I remember we went to a village in Haryana, and there the girls, we were talking to them, and then I was interacting with them. It was really funny, and I said, you know, do you know that when you're walking, the boys come after you? I'll tell this in Hindi, and they're like, ma'am, kya chhedkhani karna bhi guna hai? I was like, haan beta, it is a crime. They're like, अच्छा तो ऐसे तो भी हम चलते हैं तो बहुत सीटियां मारते हैं. मैं कहा दैट इज नॉट द राइट थिंग, इट इज अंडर ईव टीजिंग. एंड द बॉयज वर लाइक, हमें तो नहीं पता, नो वन टोल्ड अस. दैट वाज व्हाट द बॉयज सेड. एंड लाइक द सेम वे व्हेन वी वेंट टू ऑर्गेनाइजेशन, व्हेन वी स्पोक अबाउट द एक्ट, व्हेन वी स्पोक अबाउट हैरेसमेंट और द पनिशमेंट, द मेन वर लाइक, ओ इज दिस ऑल्सो अ पार्ट ऑफ इट, वी डिड नॉट नो दैट. एंड ऑन द अदर हैंड, व्हेन आई स्टार्ट एंड व्हेन आई आस्क समवन, what is feminism? You won't believe, if I take a ratio out of it, 90% people, students and youngsters, when I talk to them, they'll be like talking about women's rights. And then I'm like, feminism is equality of all genders. But it I is think not I'm, specifically yeah, for women. Yeah. And then, you know, they're under the impression, yeah, nowadays men think women have all the rights.
Yeah.
Laws are coming for women in India. No, where are we?
Okay.
But then you have to tell them, men have equal rights as well.
Yeah,
but
do.
The thing is, women need more education on the rights.
Thank you.
That's
for
what
that.
It is.
No, thank you for that. I mean, you know, one of the things that I always say to young men as well is that you can all be feminists. If you believe in equality for your sister to have a choice in marriage, you want your wife to be paid equal to you, you want to have rights for your mom, then you definitely can be a feminist. So, you know, I did a global campaign many years ago, and it actually broke all records on social media. So I do see the power of like social media. Renku, I was going to come to you and sort of ask you a little bit more about your work. But what I was kind of thinking about is, you know, online education, we've seen a lot of things through the pandemic. Globally, education has really taken a step back, and only now things are coming back. I would like to just hear some of your thoughts as well around how do we level up for the next generation, really?
So I think not only online, I would like to kind of put it together in a very hybrid modality. See, there are a growing number of programs and interventions that are getting some more attention and space, especially when it comes to gender equitable education that I think a lot of us are here for, right? And maybe what I can also establish here is that when we think about these programs and interventions, a ground reality for us to also see whether this intervention that I'm proposing is serving the need and the realities of the people that we're talking about. Because the other trend is, especially with the online education, is that program A works well in community A, and we're going to copy-paste that same and put that in community B, which is actually not the reality. For instance, let me just put some examples and statistics for us here, right? If the barriers to education for girl child is distance, right? So we're saying distance from school to home, then the intervention might look like as simple as a free cycle distribution scheme. If the barrier changes, because geographically and over time the barriers are going to change. Now let's move a little bit towards maybe on our east side, right? Then the barriers, let's say in a place like, not on the west side, the barriers in a place like Ghana, which is in Africa, the challenges are very different. The challenges are that young women, adolescent women are getting married. The challenges are that there are early pregnancies, teenage pregnancies, right? The challenges are there's a lot of stigma attached to coming back to schools. So the intervention again changes, and the intervention then has to look like, how do we increase awareness, and how do we reduce that stigma of coming back to schools? So there are programs and this is a beautiful collaboration that the Ministry of Education in Ghana and UNICEF has done, where they've partnered together to create a program called Back to School, which is actually targeting young adolescent pregnant women, young mothers to come back to school, and providing them those opportunities and normalizing that it's okay to go to school and it's okay to do whatever other responsibilities that you have to do, including mothering, including breastfeeding. So those are some of the programs, and I'm like, we can obviously engage more on that. One of these aspirational programs for us in India has been Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao, which almost translates to that if you want to see a successful daughter, an empowered, aware woman in future, somebody who's strong and can challenge and break all the barriers, all the glass ceilings, then you have to educate her. And it's been running from 2015, so beautiful number of years across the country. And of course, it has many other schemes as part of it. But that's been a beautiful campaign around access, awareness, and advocacy. I think we also spoke about advocacy. How do we create rules, regulations, guidelines, and principles, get structures, systems, and processes to ensure that that integration, mainstreaming is happening.
Yeah.
And maybe just one closing thought on that would also be that I think as the conversation will grow, one is getting our daughters into school. That's one part of it, right? But we should also recognize that school also has certain limitations. That the kind of skills that the new world, this new world needs, this new nation needs, may not always be available through the existing school system. So therefore, there's also a space for a lot of new programs on vocational, technical, digital skills, life skills, which are very important to bring into the forefront of when we say education and learning and not just schooling. Because I think, I still feel schooling is much easier, but does it make all girls, all genders, everyone competent enough to be able to navigate the complexity that we all of us sitting here cannot even imagine? So so I think there's a lot to grow and learn, and there are some beautiful programs that have happened around the world, strong partnerships and advocacies that have happened, and there's a lot for us to learn and invest on them as research too. Thank you.
And Divya, it would be good to hear about you, because obviously you do art and different kind of courses to what probably from the status quo in India. So it would be really good to see, and hear your thoughts.
Thank you, Mandy. It was nice to hear everyone. I was thinking of Gauriji when she spoke. I'm going to give a quick example. I have my domestic worker who works for my house. We call her Didi. She's very close to my heart. She has two children, one boy, one girl. We made her son do his BBA. We made her son do his MBA. When it came to her daughter, I said, what about your daughter? And she said, but Didi, she's not interested to study. And I mean, I was just taking it and giving an example that we had to force her and include her and say, no, she also needs to study. Please do understand that. And I think she learned, because when she saw, I have girls and boys in the house, and when she saw both doing really well, it was a good example. With the arts, I think, Mandy, you had put up a question saying, does the bias still exist with the arts? It does, and I think it can go away as long as we keep providing opportunities. There are a lot of great female role models like Bharti Kher, Ritu Berry, who reached a global platform today. And it's not only good for women in India, but also globally. The more opportunities we provide, more girls will come forward with their talent. So I think that's important. As an education group in Amity, we give a lot of... we try and give access to good education across the country, but also equity by giving a lot of scholarships to girls and boys, kids who cannot afford to go. And I think taking over from her, I think our best example would be online education. It is amazing how it has just taken over. The girls who could not study earlier otherwise have found the opportunity to study, and we're providing it in 50 countries, and it's amazing that 85% of the online education are all women. So things have really changed. Taking it from what the government is doing, a lot for us as well. I think we need to think of creative ideas in rural areas. I think Modiji thought of good thoughts. Even having a free bicycle in Bihar, the girls started going to school. Having toilets in schools, encouraged the girls to go to school. I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And if we have to think of inclusive education, we have to overcome challenges and look for more opportunities. And one of the best is online education, like I said.
Yeah. And I think, through the pandemic, we saw all classrooms around the world go online, and we were all looking at how are we going to work on this. And one of the things that really shocked me, living in England, there was like digital poverty, and we're one of the G7 countries, one of the richest countries, but actually people in Britain not having access to the internet, not having mobile devices or having laptops to do the homework. And I think what I realized through the pandemic was that we're all in the same storm, but however, we're in very different boats. And we're all coming through this together. And it was about leveling up. And we were trying to make sure that no child was left behind and every child was given the same opportunities. I will come to you now and actually kind of learn a little bit about, like, how do we improve things and some of the research and things like that as well, because your organization is fantastic. I've had the pleasure of visiting Lyric and everybody else in Washington, and it, you know, you do some really leading work around gender equality, so it would be really good to hear some of your thoughts around education. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been really a very interesting conversation, hearing everyone speak. I just wanted to first share some of the snippets from field. When this girl from a rural, remote gem schools of Jharkhand, with a very bright, beautiful smile, says why there is a holiday on Sunday in school. When a boy say that, you know, it's my responsibility to nip violence in buds to ensure my school is safer. When teachers introspect, they recognize, they acknowledge their own biases and begin their journey of transformation within themselves and also in school. We know that there is a journey towards inclusive, transformative education, which is also empowering, has begun. I think when we were earlier having this conversation and some of this question, I think what, when we think about inclusive education, which is the larger question of this panel, we have to be very mindful that we do not use the term inclusiveness as an instrumental approach, because then it runs the risk of excluding others. In earlier conversation, people talk about that inclusive education for girls should not be excluding boys or other gender and sexual minorities. So I think that's really important. And we need to understand and position inclusiveness within a larger context of social justice and building on the global commitment of no one leaves behind. And if we get into some detail, I know time is really limited. I just wanted to highlight two points, is that when we think about girls, we have to really understand that girls are not homogeneous groups. Their gender identity intersects with all other identities, which really shape their aspirations and experiences. And for education to be inclusive, and I always use transformative and empowering, their needs and barriers must be understood, recognized, and addressed. The second part is that, you know, we have seen in our programs that as we frame inclusiveness in the space of inclusive education for girls, has a lot of risk of marginalizing boys particularly, and from all our research that we have done in ICRW, we know how school and education play a major role in solidifying gender notions, including around masculinities. Like, you know, boys getting much harsher punishments, being asked to do things without really recognizing what their interest and willingness are. In our GEMS program, we have seen one of our big learnings has been that boys also need their own safe spaces where they can express their vulnerabilities, their threats and fears, where they can be sensitive and open without being fear of being judged. So, I mean, that's what we have to really all envision and think what education should be. And that cannot happen if there is not enough commitment at every level of the system,
yeah,
and supported by necessary investment in building the program, in building the evidences. And I'm sure all of us are committed towards it. And this is really a great space to build a partnership and make this a reality.
Thank you. You made some really great, valid points. Right. I'm going to give you all 30 seconds to give me your final thoughts. So I'm going to go this way. So Divya, final thoughts or any comments that you would like to share?
I would say, Mandy, honestly speaking, I think the mindset has already started changing. I think let's be positive. Things are in a better path. You know, for us to be a superpower and a global nation today, we want to be a globally recognized super nation. It's not just about STEM, not about sciences, it's also about the arts. And I think we've all moved forward. The change has started. Everybody is including girls, women in everything. They're trying their best. At least it started. So if we don't look at it positively and we keep saying, oh, nothing is happening and nobody's including the girls and where's the inclusivity, I don't think so, we'll go anywhere. I think it has started. People are making an effort and wishing us all the best to take things further. And I think education is going to change everything.
No, brilliant. Thank you for flying the flag. So that's brilliant. Thank you. Ritika, I'm going to come to you for your final thought.
Yeah, but just want to second the thoughts that was just shared. I think for me, something that I would really like to stand for is a more gender equitable transformative education where, as we all heard, all genders and everybody on the spectrum should be included. That's really important, as first said. Second, for me, it's something which is really, again, a personal space as well as the space of social and emotional learning. How do we bring in back what you also said was the conversation about self-awareness? Who am I as an individual, right? How do I bring in conversations around conflict resolution, which are going to happen in the current realities that we are, especially in the inclusive education space? And then again, trying to see about how that cooperation and collaboration can happen. So for me, education needs to have an integration, and learning needs to have an integration of the social and emotional aspects too.
That's
Thanks
brilliant.
A lot.
Brilliant. Good thoughts. And Gauri, your final thoughts, please.
One thing that I would really look forward to and pray for is that across the world, in different countries, the curriculum focuses on bringing up children, girls and boys, looking at each other as equals and as partners in the way forward. It may take a long time, but I hope it will happen. The second thing that I would like to mention is that if we want all this to happen, countries need to pay a lot of attention to health education as well. It is only when our population is well looked after and healthy, can they look at other aspects and aspirations in their life. Yes.
Thank you very much. Seema, your final thought.
Thank you, Mandy. My final thoughts will be that I guess for, I always say mindsets cannot be bought. Mindsets can only be built. So I said if there's a change in mindset that is required, I think government reforms or anything else, more than that, the person needs to understand why this needs to change, why one is equal, or why a girl needs to go out there and educate herself. And I truly believe we have a national education policy, she knows better, that has come into the new policy has come. But I would still think we need more changes. We need to bring in more skill. Yeah. We need to bring in education which is more based on talent and skills than just numbers and finances. I think that will again attract more women and more girl child to come on stage and study more. Thank you.
Very good points. And finally.
Thank you. So for me, I would say first is the intentionality. There has to be intention to bring the changes to make education inclusive and transformative and empowering, which requires commitment at every level, investment and collaboration. Thank you.
Very good points. And I love that I always work to time. But I want to just make a final thought, because one of the things that I'm really passionate about is actually mentorship and being an ally for the next generation. So for me and Shelley and Rhonda and so many other amazing Cantor and so many other women in this room who are empowering and mentoring and giving people a seat at the table, we need to do that. We shouldn't just say it, we need to do it. It's also about funding grassroots organizations who are working, and also we need to be able to put funding into the education system as well. So this is about the resources. So if we want young women to go into art or into tech or into other courses, it's really important that the resources are also there. It's also important that we look at apprenticeships and traineeships and look at other opportunities of education, because actually one hat doesn't fit for everybody. So it is about being creative, being innovative, and really thinking outside of the box. I'm very grateful to the panel, and you have 30 seconds. I just want to say thank you to Divya, Ratia, Gauri, and Seema. You know, this has been a great conversation. It's something that I could have probably talked for another half an hour, but, you know, and we have finished with 15 seconds left. So thank you. And again, we're going to just take one photograph. Sorry that we weren't able to take questions, but I know Shelley's due on with her panel now as well. So again, I just want to say thank you to everybody for attending. And I hope you're all going to make the use of the Equality Lounge. There's lots of great food and lots of great things happening outside and in the hall as well. So thank you, everybody.